My disclosure is that I am an endocrinologist, and so you probably think I have no business being here, but I think that I can say that I get it. And I'm from New Mexico, and we are usually at the very top of all the bad things and the very bottom of all the good things as far as the 50 states go. But I'm happy to report that we are making a lot of headway with CHW efforts. And so what I'm going to do is kind of walk you through the evolution of how our organization got to this point of training community health workers, and then look at our training program as well as some results and some of our further initiatives. And we are largely grant-funded and have been very willing to collaborate with other organizations. There's now some limitation in that as grant funding kind of dries up, but we're still willing to collaborate. We just don't know the mechanism yet. So just going to put that out there. So the organization that I work with is called Project ECHO, which stands for Extension for Community Outcomes. The mission is really to develop the capacity to improve healthcare to treat chronic, common, and complex diseases in underserved areas. And the methods that we use are to train, initially was to train rural and underserved clinicians working in these areas, but we've expanded to nurses, pharmacists, community health workers, and others to treat these diseases. And this program actually evolved from hepatitis C, which is, New Mexico has one of the highest rates of hepatitis C per capita, and there was only one provider in the entire state who was an expert in treatment of hepatitis C, and his wait time was 7 to 12 years. Because of the propensity of it. And that's enough time to actually suffer more significant morbidity and mortality from the disease. But if you have an intervention, it's enough time to actually get treated. And he went out and tried to figure out why, what's going on. And so he developed this program to train underserved rural providers on how to diagnose and treat hepatitis C. So what we use is telemedicine. Providers or clinicians, nurses, et cetera, get on the phone on a weekly basis and collaborate with the multidisciplinary hepatitis C team, or in my case, the diabetes team. They present patients that they are seeing in their communities, and then we co-manage them. Benefits include that the patients don't have to leave their communities and travel 5 hours to the scary city of Albuquerque. They don't have to get time off of work. Clinicians and other providers get more expertise and skills. They collaborate with others around the state, so hopefully reduce provider isolation and thus retention. So we provide CME credits for free. We use this case-based learning, which involves a multidisciplinary team. Knowledge networks are created, and patients are co-managed on demand. As I mentioned, patients receive specialty-level care without having to leave their communities. Clinicians learn new skills and knowledge. They get free CME, maintenance of certification. Molina, as Helen mentioned, Ellen.
Ellie.
Okay. I'm sorry. Mentioned, actually is providing clinicians and nurses to present patients in this venue at the tone of $150 per case, which is pretty innovative and good. It has not taken off, which I really cannot understand why, but we're sort of working on that. With this collaborative effort, the teams out there in rural areas feel more engaged, they feel less lonely, they're more likely to stay. And again, wait time for treatment is significantly improved. This is sort of an example of what it looks like. It's a Hollywood Square kind of phenomenon. The team at UNM is up in the top left, and then they're connecting with all these rural sites, so everybody's on video or audio. We've got multiple different programs. This is our reach. Many of you probably have never seen a map of New Mexico because it's often excluded from things, and you actually don't have to have a passport to get in. So, looking at diabetes, which is my area, and I was recruited to sort of take the hepatitis C project to the diabetes project. And we know all about this, that there's multiple factors that contribute to diabetes. A multifaceted intervention is needed. And we started a program mimicking the hepatitis C model to actually try to do this. But what happened was that I was instructed to go out and find champion clinicians around the state, and I got no buy-in. I heard things like, well, it's not like hepatitis C where you can die from it. We don't have time. It's the patients who aren't doing it. It's the health workers who really need to be educated. We're doing it all already. So you can't really tell them, you know, they just opened another big dialysis center right next door because you're doing such a great job, because they'll just throw you out the window. But there's this huge concept from clinicians, which is a huge barrier to improving care. And it's called clinical inertia. So clinicians overestimate the care they provide. I'm really, really good on my HEDIS measures. I'm doing a great job, but if you look at the data, yeah, no. Providers are burned out. Diabetes isn't sexy. It's not like hepatitis C where it's dangerous and drugs are toxic. It's not sexy. There's not enough time to actually provide care for a patient with diabetes in the setting of a 15-minute office visit, much less deal with the rest of their medical problems. And you mentioned, you know, they come in, well, should we take care of their diabetes, their hypertension, their lipids, what? It's not in isolation. It's a collective thing. We've got to treat the whole thing. And it's easy to shift the blame to someone else. And so we really need a team approach. And so who should be on that team? You all know this, but I'm adding the dog. The dog. So if we all loved our dog and walked our dog 2 miles a day, we wouldn't have this problem. We wouldn't have pet obesity. Now there are pet bariatric surgery units being developed all over. We don't even have a human bariatric center in New Mexico. But anyway, the dog. So community health workers are really an important part of the solution. This is our first training cohort. Our state is largely Hispanic, Native American, with a white minority, and so you can see a lot of diversity there. The model that we use is initially we had a no cost of participation. We would actually bring trainees in to Albuquerque for 3 days of an intensive training. We'd cover all of their costs. We would do pre-testing and post-testing. We'd focus on clinical and communication skills, team building, as well as diabetes knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. Following that, they would go back to their communities and they would participate in a weekly teleconference using that Hollywood Square thing, where we would do didactics. They would discuss cases or clients that they're seeing. We would discuss how to really try to solve some of the barriers and problems. And research sharing and networking was the biggest part of this program, because the community health worker in this community may be facing an issue that a community health worker, or a clinician for that matter, may be facing in another community, but they've solved it. And so you can transfer information without having to reinvent the wheel. And then finally, we have some video modules that we have them go through as far as the learning program. Some of the ways that we needed to study this effort so that we could get new grants was to look at outcomes. So we looked at the Diabetes Attitude Scale, which is a University of Michigan validated survey tool, as well as the Diabetes Knowledge Test. We developed our own confidence scale. And then we did clinical assessments. So we taught these skills to the community health workers, including how to do vital signs, how to do medication, not management, but more education, glucose monitoring, depression screening, and the diabetes foot exam. We got a lot of pushback from clinicians that this was out of the scope of practice of community health workers. And so my mantra has always been, The only thing wrong with doing a diabetes foot exam incorrectly is not doing a diabetes foot exam. And so you can look at your HEDIS measures and you're not doing it. Just looking at a foot is very powerful. And looking at a foot with the patient who owns the foot is actually more powerful. And it doesn't really take, you know, 12 years of education to figure out how to do a diabetes foot exam. We can train people to do this. They do it very well. They do it better than clinicians. They do it more often. So today we have trained 94 community health workers or community health representatives, the tribal equivalent, or promotoras. And here are our demographics. We're actually overrepresented with Native Americans, and that's just because there's such a huge need, because diabetes is much more prevalent in those populations. And the IHS tribal disconnect leads to further consternation. So just a couple of our results from our first cohort. We found significant improvements in the DKT, which is the diabetes knowledge test, significant improvements in confidence skills, both clinical skills and non-clinical skills by CHWs who participated. And there was a significant increase in diabetes attitude scales. However, the scale goes from 1 to 5. They were already very very engaged in their relationship to diabetes, so had a lot of positive attitudes, and so there wasn't a lot of room for improvement, which is very telling of the role of community health workers in this area. We also tested clinical skills, so we would teach the skills, we would assess them one-on-one with a rater, before the program and then at the end of the 6 months, and we found significant improvement in all of the scales, including the foot exam. This is just shown in a different way. This is pre-testing in blue, post-testing in purple. Significant improvement in their ability to conduct these skill sets as a result of the training. We then wanted to know how is our program impacting how community health workers are utilized in community-based settings, specifically clinical settings. So we surveyed supervisors, and we asked this question. How has our program impacted your utilization of community health workers in your healthcare setting? And we asked them before the program and after the program, and there was a significant increase in their utilization or their incorporation of community health workers into the healthcare team. Some of the questions or some of the responses that they gave are shown here. We've incorporated these skills, educating the client. I can't read that. The rapport established with patients increases our ability to improve compliance and accountability. They help navigate the healthcare system, et cetera, et cetera. One of our programs, which was in southern New Mexico, which you still don't need a passport for, they took our training and then they implemented a program related to the training for their clients with diabetes. And this is some of the results. Before the program, the average A1C above 9% was more than 50% of patients. As a result of the program, it decreased to approximately 25%. So significant benefits. Not a direct result of our program, but we hope that we contributed to their ability to do this intervention. We have several initiatives. We do now have a more robust clinical diabetes and cardiac care clinic, which is largely based for clinicians, nurses, pharmacists, et cetera, using the same ECHO model to improve healthcare delivery, using the patient care home model, et cetera, et cetera. We have a diabetes obesity telehealth program that follows the same model as well, and we are really looking to collaborate and expand that program. That's a whole new bag of worms, which I'll come back and talk about next year, hopefully. Our community health worker training program I mentioned. We've also initiated a retinal screening project where we're training community health workers to be the imagers, taking retinal cameras out to the communities, taking the images, they get read by a central site, and then I only need two. and then we help, again, co-manage those patients through distance methodology by helping them control their blood pressure, their glucoses, and their lipids using this ECHO model. This has been quite successful. There are a lot of retinal programs where they just do retinal screenings and then you're done. We try to close the loop, bring it back to the patient, and really work on modifying risk factors. We also, I didn't mention this here, but there's an emergency eye care program in New Mexico for patients who have findings that they can get free intervention, and it's been completely underutilized. And it's use it or lose it. So the program is at risk for dying because nobody knows about it. So we're really helping to expand the utilization of that. Some other CHW programs that we have are a prison peer education training. And this is for incarcerated people who have hepatitis C, which it turns out is almost all of them. And so we are recruiting incarcerated people who have it, who've been treated, to actually act as peer educators for their colleagues in prison to help them get on board with treatment, with prevention, with intervention. We also have an addictions training program with community health workers, reaching out to patients who are suffering from addiction. And using intervention treatments like Suboxone. He's going to put up another sign.
No.
And then finally, the eye program. So this model works not only for diabetes, for multiple things such as asthma and many other chronic diseases that are common and complex. It's going to take a lot of work to really get the medical system on board. But as you know, we are definitely moving in that direction. And if the election goes the way I want it to, we will continue. If not, then we should all look for new jobs. Okay, I didn't mean to be political. But we definitely, regardless, need new models of healthcare delivery to meet these unmet needs. And certainly community health workers, community health representatives, and promotores are an awesome way to do this because they get it and they know how to do it. I have some contact info here, and I think that's available for you. So I'm going to conclude.
Thank you.